It's now time for Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM. He's here to take your questions regarding law and estate planning at 390-1370. And now, here's attorney Brad Wewell.
Good morning, everybody. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. We are here on a beautiful Memorial Day weekend. Yes, we made it to summer, and it looks like so far so good. Not too hot, kind of cool, rain, got it all going. We're going to talk today about anything you want to talk about. This is a Stump the Lawyer Saturday. Now, normally on this show, we talk about estate planning issues. Last week, we talked about asset protection, which is keeping your assets safe from your creditors. The week before that, we had Candace Bocock. We were talking about probate. This week, we're going to talk about anything you want to talk about with any area of the law. I've been a lawyer since 1978. Man, that sounds like a long time. You know, it is a long time. 31 years. I am board certified in estate planning and probate law by the Texas Board of Legal Specialization. So I know quite a bit about estate planning stuff, and we can talk about that too. But I really know a lot about a lot of little things, and I don't mind trying to share my knowledge with you today because the law is just kind of murky. So we're going to try to help you today with anything you've got going regarding any legal question. It can be criminal. It can be a family matter with child support or custody. We've had a lot of real estate questions on Stump the Lawyer Saturdays. We've had traffic law questions. We've had immigration law questions. We've had one listener wanted to know about how to set up a militia. So bring it on, baby. Today is the day, and now is the time. We got about, the show lasts about 50 minutes, and we're already about 2 or 3 minutes into it. So here's our call-in number. Our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370. If you want to, again, Stump the Lawyer Saturday, you can email me at askbrad@wewell.us. That's askbrad@wiewell.us. I'll do my best to read your email question, get you an answer to that too, and get you on down the road. The law, again, is exceedingly complex. You want it to be simple. I want it to be simple. Unfortunately, a lot of times it's not simple. So if you've got a question, you've got a frustration, you've just got a curiosity, this is the time, this is the day. Call 390-1370, 390-1370, and we'll give it our best shot. Okay, and it looks like, holy cow, we've already got a caller on line one, and this sounds like Karen.
Hi, Brad. I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
I went down to check on my retirement for the state, and I was going to make sure my beneficiaries were written down and all. And, I had not set up a trust already, but I'd heard you talking about trusts.
Yes, ma'am.
Wills and trusts. And I asked them if I could put a trust on my to designate
a trust as the beneficiary on your retirement account.
Right.
Okay.
And they said, no, you cannot. I was really taken aback. They said, you can name a number of individuals. And I'm thinking, am I really hearing this correctly?
Well, you may be. And what that tells me, of course, is that those people nobody has talked to them about modern estate planning. This is apparently they're still back in the 30s or 50s when Jesse James was the state treasurer, and that was his name. In fact, folks, if you're new to Texas or a little younger than maybe I am, but Jesse James was the state treasurer forever, and then after him was Warren G. Harding, who was the state treasurer. If he had a famous name, he kind of got to be state treasurer, but it doesn't surprise me, Karen, and I know it's frustrating, and frankly, it is a real problem. You've got a situation where you may want to leave money to your retirement, which my guess is, Karen, is a pretty big asset of your estate. Is that right?
Right, and I have a large family, and there are some there are little problems in the family where you don't you don't just want to hand somebody a bunch of money. You don't know if those people are still going to be alive. You don't know if your husband's going to be alive.
Well, and you want your husband to be alive and then give it to Bambi, his new little pinup girlfriend or whatever.
Absolutely. And my husband wasn't around when I earned that money.
Right. So you get some separate property stuff there, too.
Right.
Yeah, and so, it is crazy, and I would urge you, and in fact, I'd be happy to, if you can talk to your HR person there, I'd be happy to get together a group of other estate planning attorneys, or I'd be happy to go down by myself or bring a CPA or two and just maybe try to educate the employee retirement system and maybe the teacher retirement system on, like, what's going on in the new century. We're already 9 years into it. And the problem is, too, because
the legislature is still in session for another 5 days.
Well, that, you know, and then we can't wait to see them go, can we? And
isn't that the truth?
Probably a little too late to throw a bill in the hopper over there. But
right.
The other problem that's out there, I mean, you brought up an excellent two or three points. One is you may have family members that would not do well with a lump sum of money. You may have a family member who's a special need person.
Right, that's
That would disqualify them. You may have a concern, and everybody should have the concern if you're married, about your spouse remarrying. But if you're also, let's say you've got young children, well, that money hits your young kids. They don't get the money. We have to hire a lawyer, go down to court, get a guardianship established for the money.
Mm-hmm.
It may be in the court forever or until the kids are 18. 18th birthday, they walk in and go get all the money and end up losing it all, spending it all. Ended up with a drug problem, which we've seen. I mean, it's just, you know. So I appreciate your frustration. And, again, if you want to talk to your HR person, and I'd be happy to do what I could to help lobby employment retirement system.
Well, think of it this way. There are millions of state employees that are reaching retirement age, and this is, and they're reaching the age of being over 50.
Right.
Which means they, you know, get closer and closer to being, you know, possibly dying.
Right.
And this is a real issue there.
No, it's just, you know, but it's, again, it doesn't surprise me. The state, especially in retirement areas, works really slow. There are a few credit unions out there that up until recently wouldn't let you have your credit union account in the name of your trust. And they, from what I understand, all of them will now, but there wasn't a reason why they wouldn't. They just didn't do it. And why won't you do it? Because.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, because might have been a good answer back in 1983 or 1963 or 1933. But, you know, life is so much more, complex. And nobody had these type of retirement systems, retirement accounts back then. But they do now, and, you know, it is a – I appreciate your sense of frustration, and I don't mind, again, if I get a chance going to bat for you, too.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a great great holiday. We can be careful.
You too, Brad. Thanks.
Thanks. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Good question from Karen. So if you're listening and you're a state employee or you're a teacher, give me a call. We can talk about this some more. Give me a call on Tuesday. Monday's the holiday. And we'll see what we can do about getting up and getting after it, and see if we can get the state to get their head out of the sand and out of the two, three centuries ago, and allow people to name a trust as a beneficiary. And, again, the reason why that might be a really smart thing to do is if you've got minor kids, you don't want the minor kids getting the money and have it all tied up in a guardianship, and then they walk in on their 18th birthday and go spend all of what you spent your whole life earning. If you've got a special need child, adult or minor, and they get that money, it can disqualify them from government benefits and would be the worst thing that would happen. Or you leave it to an adult child, and all of a sudden they get divorced and their spouse walks off with some, or you die and leave it to your spouse and they get remarried and give it to a girl we always call Bambi and a boy we always call Bubba. They leave it to Bambi and Bubba, and, you know, there's going to be a nice little adios as they ride off into the sunset, and little Bambi is going to figure out a way to get it out of his pocket, and Bubba probably figure out a way to sweet talk her out of it too. So we don't want that. We want control. Control. In real estate, the three most important things, everybody knows them, are the three most important things are location, location, location. In estate planning, the three most important things are control, control, control. And you want to be able to control your money. This is your money. But I'm telling you, if you don't do the work, then some judge someplace is going to control it. The legislature is going to control it. The Congress is going to control it. Frankly, some lawyer is going to control it. And your family will not be in control, and you won't be in control. So you've got to do some things. This is pretty basic stuff, folks. And I know you hear me lecture this every week. And I'm going to lecture on it every week because it's the only way you're going to get it. Hopefully, their leaders will get it. But Karen's frustration is a very sound one and something that needs to be dealt with. Okay, this is a Stump the Lawyer Saturday. That means, again, any legal question is fair game. Give us a call. Call about your fence problem with your neighbor. You can call about an easement issue. My good friend John Yatsu always teases me about easement questions on this show because we've had a few. You can call me about a criminal law question, a family law question, immigration again, oil and gas. Bring it on, and we'll answer your question today on Stump the Lawyer Saturday. This is Law Talk with Brad. We're going to take a break. All our phone lines are open. Give me a call, 390-1370, 390-1370.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment on Talk Radio 1370 AM. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
All right. Welcome back. This is Law Talk with Brad. This is Brad Wewell. We're taking calls on any legal topic today whatsoever. So if you've got a question, give me a call on real estate, criminal, family, immigration, blah, blah, blah. Again, oil and gas, employment law. We had a little question on that from Karen. So 390-1370, 390-1370 is our call-in number, and it sounds like we've got Mike on line one. Mike, this is Brad Wewell with Law Talk with Brad. What can I help you with this morning?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question concerning real estate. A piece of property is owned by a trust, and the beneficiaries to trust are individuals. The trust is fearing a lawsuit, possibly pending. And my question is, in the event of a lawsuit, would it be an advisory to take the individuals that are beneficial interest and transfer the beneficial interest to an LLC for just protection?
Well, I'm not sure you can do that, and I'm not sure you necessarily need to do that. Tell me, this is obviously an irrevocable trust at this point in time.
It's a land trust.
Right. And the reason for the lawsuit would be what?
Unbeknownst, wrote a contract that apparently is appears to look like a contract for deed.
Right.
And so unknowingly, unwittingly, we have a dispute with the return of some monies because of the contractual obligation originally was forfeiture. And now those monies are being asked to be returned on
okay.
the option.
All right. If the trust is getting sued, then the individual beneficiaries shouldn't have any individual liability, nor should the trustee have any individual liability. The trust assets will be up for grabs. But unless the beneficiaries or the trustee, I suppose, and there's a new interesting little theory out there that's abounding called civil conspiracy. But unless everybody got together and decided we're going to really screw this guy over, which doesn't sound like it happened, it sounds like it's an inadvertent thing, the trust assets will be at risk, but the individual assets of the beneficiaries probably should not be at risk. So transferring the beneficial interests of the individual beneficiaries into an LLC, first of all, I'm not even sure they can do that. because the trust names them individually as the beneficiaries. It doesn't name their LLC as a beneficiary. And you would probably, I mean, to change the beneficiaries of an irrevocable trust, wow, that would take probably court action unless there's some things. We put in our trust now things called trust protectors, Mike, which are independent people who are charged with tweaking, I guess would be the good word, an irrevocable trust. But an irrevocable trust, as the name suggests, can't be changed without court or some loophole that might be in the trust. So I don't think changing, and it sounds like you may be a beneficiary, somebody you know and loves a beneficiary of this trust. The land that is in dispute for damages may be at risk, but they should not be able to sue you or whoever the trustee is individually for personal assets.
Okay, I really appreciate the answer. So tell me if you're at all familiar, and I'm talking about, I think, a state statute that was enacted back in 05 that made it somewhat, well, it's not advised anymore to do contract for deeds, or rather options.
Well, let me explain what contract for deeds are for the benefit of our other listeners. A contract for deed, they used to be very popular, and now they're pretty rare. It's where somebody goes and doesn't buy the property, but gets a contract where the contract says, once you've made all the payments to me, the seller, once I've received all the money for this property, then I will, under the contract, then I'll give you the deed and it will be yours. Normal real estate transactions are now deeds and deeds of trust, where the buyer buys it, gets the deed, and then the lender, the former seller, if it's owner financed, gets what's called a deed of trust. And a deed of trust is a mortgage, and if the buyer who has the deed and owns the property doesn't make the payments, then the owner with the deed of trust, the lender, can foreclose, and it's quick and simple. Getting out of a contract for deed on the part of the seller or the buyer is very complex and fraught with danger, and they have passed, as I recall, I don't have the statute right here in front of me, Mike, new legislation to protect the buyers in those situations, because what's happened is, over the course of time, somebody has paid all the money, and the seller doesn't want to give them a deed, or the seller has a judgment against them, and there's a judgment lien against the property, or there's a tax lien against the property, and the poor little buyer who's paid all the money really gets taken the cleaners on that. So that's kind of what a contract for deed is, and kind of why they're not very favored, because there is a real genuine risk to the buyer under a contract for deed that at the end of the rainbow, when they paid all the money, the pot of gold is empty.
Okay, so in your opinion, this was not near, there was no intent at all. It was a simple, straightforward, you agree to purchase property at a certain date and time in the near future. That person didn't do that, and therefore, you know, the situation is even offered to finance that gentleman under owner Carey, and they say no, threatening lawsuit to get the returns of their money. Now, is there any extenuating circumstances in court?
Well, was this all in writing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Well, all right. I mean, was the original contract in writing?
Absolutely.
All right. Then the best advice I can give you is I'm going to send you to a board-certified real estate lawyer, because the questions you're asking me are multifaceted and more than we can really focus on here on the show. And you're going to need somebody who knows what they're doing to read what you've got, put the whole thing together, and then give you and your family a reasoned, smart, decent answer to your question and tell you whether or not you have any liability under this contract for deed or not. There is a concept in the law called mitigation of damages, where you try your best. So somebody, you injured somebody, and you try your best to minimize the damages, to make them better, to to help them, give them some money, try to get out of this thing in a way that's reasonable, and they turn you down, then when they sue you, then their rights are less and they can recover less. So, but I don't want to give you anything too off the cuff here, because you've got a serious situation that I think you're going to need a real estate lawyer to help you with.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Great. You bet. Thanks. Have a great weekend. All right. We got another call. And by the way, this is Stump the Lawyer Saturday. You can call me with any kind of legal question, and it kind of looks like we're getting that, so that's great. 390-1370, 390-1370 is our call-in number, and it looks like we got Elliot on line one. Elliot, this is Brad Wewell, Law Talk with Brad. What can I help you with?
Hello?
Hi, Elliot. You are on the air.
I was calling because a friend of mine, they're a couple. They're in their 70s. They're an openly gay couple.
Okay.
And they've been together for 50 years.
Wow.
They're both retired hospital administrators. One of them now is on dialysis.
Hmm.
And for some reason, all these years, they've always put things in one of their names.
They put
and
what
it's
in
the
one
on dialysis.
Hold on. They put what in one of their names?
All the properties,
ooh,
you know, no, everything of value.
Mm-hmm.
They've put in one of their names.
All right.
Now he's on dialysis, and they worry about it.
Right.
They're always calling me, you know, find out how we can get things put in both names, because the one who's got everything in their name has family, and they worry that the family will try to come after the properties
right,
and everything.
Well, the first thing they need to do is they need to get the one who's ill a revocable living trust, because a living trust is much harder to break than a will is. And if it's done right, then when the one who's ill passes away, the survivor of the two will get it privately. And so the family of the deceased partner won't have a lot of information to go to find a lawyer who may want to take the case on a contingency fee basis, which means, you know, you don't pay for the lawyer. He just gets a piece of what you get out of this estate. The less the family knows, the less likely they are going to be to find a lawyer who's going to take the case free, because he's not sure what's going to be at the end of that rainbow. And so I think they need to get a revocable living trust set up right away, and try to keep everything private. They also are going to need to make sure that, Elliot, that they have proper medical powers back and forth. They have something called a declaration of guardian, which is a very important document in that situation. If the ill partner's family shows up after he's lost some competency and says they're here to be his guardian, which means the court appoints them to run his finances and make medical decisions, then they can use that to kick the other partner out. If they've got a declaration, if there is a declaration of guardian, then the ill partner says, I want my partner to be my guardian if I ever need one, and the judge has to pick that person unless the judge finds that person totally unfit. So there's some smart defensive mechanisms and things that they can take to make sure that doesn't happen, if it does not happen. So they never get around to doing this, and the one who passes away dies. Does he have a will?
Oh, yeah, we've got tons of the paperwork now. But what we worry about is, like you say, hide things in order to keep things secret.
Well,
but
hold on,
they've been together for 50 years.
You don't. There's a difference. You don't hide things to keep things secret. You protect them from public view. All right. Once you go into hiding things and using, frankly, using that verbiage, I think you're going to get close to some accusations that you're trying to hide property. We're not trying to hide property. We're trying to do what we can to make sure when this gentleman dies that his property passes privately to somebody else. All right. So
yeah,
a will's not going to be what you're going to want in this situation. You're absolutely going to want a revocable living trust that's fully funded, which means the property is owned by the trust. And if, again, they don't do it, there may be a way to come back in later and claim that the healthy partner, in fact, owned half, blah, blah, blah. But, boy, that's going to be an expensive, problematic fight. And there are a lot of things that come up with that. But the absolute best advice I can give you to help your friends is get that guy a revocable living trust that, and transfer all his property into that trust. He can be the trustee. His partner can be the trustee. When the ill one passes, nobody's going to necessarily know at all what he left his surviving partner. And trusts are much more difficult to break than wills are.
Oh, okay.
So do not use a will in this situation. Absolutely get a revocable living trust going pronto.
Yeah, the biggest thing they think is an issue is like 20 years ago when their mother, like all the brothers and sisters,
mm-hmm,
when the mother before she died for several years, my friend took care of the mother, and everything was fine. The minute she died, you had, you know, brothers and sisters coming out of the woodwork. You know, where's my part? Where's my part?
Everybody's fine to let one sibling take care of mom. And but, you know, again, yeah, once the glue is broken and that adult parent dies, then sometimes knives get sharpened and come out, and some flailing begins. And, you know, in this situation, you are perhaps correct in your concern about an attack to the partner who's on dialysis estate by the other folks. We have a saying in our office that money makes people funny. And in estates, often there are problems, and you don't want a problem. So the three things I would suggest would be a revocable living trust. It's fully funded. His assets are owned by the trust. He needs a valid medical power of attorney, and he needs, at a minimum, a declaration of guardian, naming his partner as his guardian if he ever needs one. And those three things at least will certainly strengthen the hand of the healthy partner if there's later a challenge, either during a disability situation or in a post-death situation.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Hey, listen, thanks for calling, Ellie. Have a great weekend.
You
too. All right. You bet. Bye. All right. Stump the Lawyer Saturday, 390-1370, 390-1370. We're here. The phone lines are open. All the phone lines are open, Snoop. So if you got a question about anything, this is your chance. This is your day. Give us a call, 390-1370, 390-1370, or you can email me at askbrad@wiewel.us. askbrad@wiewel.us. Okay. We did get an email, and we got an email from Ann. And Ann's email, and I hope you're listening. This is quite a question. And Ann, turn up your radio, get a little pad, pencil, whatever. Because you've kind of got yourself in a situation here. Ann has a piece of property out in the country, some acreage, that she is allowing a somewhat new friend of hers to use for a hunting getaway. And apparently the group of hunters includes this new friend of hers and his son and his 4-year-old grandson. Now let's just stop right there, okay? Anytime you are leasing out your property, and Ann's not even leasing it, she's just letting this guy use it, there are problems. Anytime you lease out any property, you need to make sure there is a written lease and there are written hunting leases, and so we'll come back to that here in a second. I no longer have insurance on the property. Bad idea too, Ann. It's simply been an investment property waiting to be sold, and I have made this known to the person. Even before your program this morning, I highly suspected that I should get this individual to sign a handwritten agreement that there would be no liability of any sort to me while he and the others used the property, that I would not be held liable for personal damages or harm, and that he would not damage in any way the property. Somehow, I don't see paying insurance to protect my asset in this circumstance. If this is indeed the case, do you advise me to deprive him of the use of the property, or is the handwritten agreement regarding liability on his part sufficient? Okay, so let's just kind of see what we can got here. We've got Ann, who has a piece of property, some acreage, and she's letting a guy she knows use it to hunt on. And she doesn't have insurance on the property and apparently had it and doesn't want it anymore. So the problem is, first of all, if there are some laws that protect Texas landowners from accidents on their properties, but it's not going to stop somebody from suing Ann if there really is a problem. That 4-year-old grandson gets killed out there, gets shot and paralyzed out there, something like that happens, and you are going to get sued. And you're going to have the property at risk and every other asset that you've got perhaps at risk. So, first of all, absolutely get a written release from this guy and his son on behalf of his 4-year-old grandson. But releasing things on behalf of minors is problematic too and certainly may not stand up in court. So You know, my best advice, Ann, is no, nobody gets to go out there, because anybody out there can cause you a really big problem. My second piece of advice is, if you're going to let them out there, get a release signed by everybody who ever steps foot on that property. And that's not, frankly, the problem is that is probably not going to happen either, because you're relying on your friend and his son to get these things signed. And they're out there, and somebody is calls Saturday morning and says, hey, what are you doing? Well, we're going out to Ann's property, and we're going to do a little dove hunting or bird hunting or quail hunting, or we're going to do a little deer hunting, and can I come? Sure. And you're supposed to sign this release, and we'll get to that later, and they left it in the next to the coffee pot, and they're out there, and somebody gets hurt, and that guy never signed the release, it will be a problem. So, Ann, there's a couple quick things. First, get some insurance. And if for no other reason, if there's a problem on the property, the insurance will pay lawyers to defend you. Maybe nothing happened out there that was your fault. Maybe the release was signed by the person who's now suing you. But you need money to pay your lawyers, and having insurance will at least help do that. Okay? Lawyers are not inexpensive and can run into the tens of thousands of dollars. And so the insurance is there. Maybe you weren't at fault and you're not liable, but you're going to have to pay your lawyers, get the insurance to pay your lawyers. The second thing is, and you probably, and I would strongly recommend that you put this property in either a family limited partnership or a family limited liability company. And the reason for that is, even with the insurance, maybe you won't have enough insurance. Maybe this poor little four-year-old kid is paralyzed, quadriplegic, is going to take millions of dollars over the course of his lifetime for his care, and you got a $1 million insurance policy. If you've got that property in a limited liability company or a limited partnership, then they won't be able to get anything but that property. Now, you don't want to lose the property, but better lose that property than lose all your other property too. So, Ann, I think you sound like a real good-hearted woman, and I don't think a handwritten agreement's going to cut it, because you're not going to know what to put in the handwritten agreement. So you need to have that drawn up by a lawyer. You need to get a limited liability company, a limited partnership out there on that property, and you need to do that before that guy steps foot on that property, and you need to have the insurance in place before that guy steps foot on that property. And you need to make sure you got some no trespassing signs on that property. And you need to make sure that that release says, if he has anybody out there and they don't sign the release, that he's liable, personally liable for all the damages. But the problem with that is, Ann, he may not have any money. You got the acreage. He doesn't have acreage, which means to me he doesn't have any money. Doesn't have enough to pay any lawsuit against him. So best advice, nobody's out there. Second thing, get a limited liability company, limited partnership out there. Third thing, get some insurance so you have some source of funds to pay the lawyers if you do get sued. And in, at the We Will Law Firm, we do limited liability companies. We do limited partnerships. We had Elliot on. We do revocable living trusts. So if you want to give us a call on Tuesday, we're happy to visit with you and talk about that and get you perhaps a release a liability waiver that you can have everybody sign. But You got a good-hearted woman, and I just think you need to be very, very careful with property. And this goes for everybody listening to this show and anybody you know. Property goes in. A lot of good things about having property, but the real bad thing is that people can trip and fall or get hurt, get shot, get drowned, whatever, on your property or near your property, and you're going to get sued, and you don't want to get sued. Okay? So, long answer. Great question, Ann, and we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take as many calls as we can squeeze in the next, 10 minutes? All right? And we got one waiting, so hang on, John. We'll get you right after the break, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment on Talk Radio 1370 AM. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
All right. Welcome back. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. And I want to just remind you about the Wewell Law Firm. We have two offices. We have an office in Austin at 1601 Rio Grande. We have an office in Georgetown at 1618 Williams Drive. We're happy to meet with you either place. We don't charge for the first visit. So if you want to come in and just talk about creating a limited liability company, a limited partnership for asset protection, if you want to talk about revocable living trust or a will, you want to talk about a power of attorney, if you want to talk about a probate matter, special needs planning for a special child, we don't charge for the first visit and are happy to see you and talk to you and kind of help you through your issue. If you got an old document you want to just have reviewed, we're happy to do that too. We also do elder law, which is Medicaid planning, and for that we do a small initial consultation fee. But for everything else, come in, sit down, first visit's free. All meetings are by appointment only, so you got to make an appointment. And again, we've got two offices in Austin and Georgetown, so our Austin number, if you want to write this down, is 480-8828. That is 480-8828. And our Georgetown number is 869-1435. 869-1435. We have a great website. Our website is TexasTrustLaw.com. TexasTrustLaw.com. On TexasTrustLaw.com, you can read about our firm. You can listen to some old radio shows. You can go to the video section. And on the video section, we have 81 two-minute videos of me just teaching on different estate planning topics. You can go to our library. We have 12 different articles up all the time on estate planning issues. We have a legal glossary. So if you want to kind of look up some of the terms we may use on Law Talk with Brad, you can do that too. So our website is TexasTrustLaw.com. And you go to TexasTrustLaw.com and listen to this show on the Internet anytime you want to, too. So we are the We Will Law Firm. We are the peace of mind people. That's all we can give you, but we can sure do a good job of that. All right, we got John on line one. John, Brad, We Will, thanks for holding. What can I help you with?
Hi, Brad. My father recently died, and my mother is going to sell the ranch and home that they live on. And I was trying to do some research on her cost basis of the property, and I read something about a step up, and I don't quite get it.
Okay, well, it's a good question, and I'm sure a practical question, John, to a lot of our listeners. And let's just start off, and I'm going to kind of give you a little, and for the benefit of other listeners, a little capital gains taxes 101 here. The basis of a property is, as you know, but our listeners may not know, John, is what you acquired it for. Her and your dad, how long have they owned that place?
About 10 years.
Okay. And let's say it was worth $1 million when they bought it, and let's say it's worth $2 million now. If they sold it, then they would pay 15% capital gains tax on the profit, the $1 million profit, $150,000. That's called the capital gains tax on that. When somebody dies, John, and this is really the essence of your question, then the heir gets a step-up in basis, which means that on the date of your dad's death, your mom got a brand-new basis in that property equal to the fair market value of the property on the day your dad died.
Okay.
So there should not be any capital gains taxes to be paid if your mom sells it, before it goes up in value. If it goes up a little bit in value, so it goes from $2 million from the day your dad died to the day she sells it, it's now $2.3 million. She would pay a 15% capital gains tax on the $300,000 it's gone up since the day of his death, but that's all.
Okay, so her step up, it's not like they each had one, so she gets the full value of the property on the date of his death.
Yes, now I'm assuming that this is community property and they bought it during their marriage with, money they had and all that. That is correct. Yep, she gets a brand new basis, and the capital gain tax has been wiped out. And she can sell it and net a lot more money and not have to pay that 15% capital gains tax. And a 15% tax doesn't sound like a lot to a lot of people, but again, if it's $1 million profit, 15% of $1 million is $150,000. That sounds like a lot of money.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's
yeah,
great
so
news.
She's good to go, and you got a better weekend, it sounds like, ahead of you now, knowing she's not going to pay a lot of tax.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for your call. All right. Good question. We've got that's it. Holy cow, Snoop just gave me the 3-minute warning here. Woo, all right. Thanks for calls, folks. Thanks for emails, too, by the way. We are going to be back next week. And next week, We're going to just be talking about general estate planning topics again. These have been kind of estate planning questions here, and most of them have, but we're open for business next week, too, so write down your questions and give us a call. You can contact us at the We Will Law Firm anytime you want to schedule a complimentary consultation. Two offices, one in Austin, one in Georgetown, 480-8828, 480-8828, or 869-1435. 869-1435. And again, go to texastrustlaw.com, our website, for more just good general legal information about estate planning stuff. All right. Today is Saturday. Tomorrow is Sunday. It's a holiday weekend, too, so you need to be extra careful out there. We don't want any premature probates, so be careful out there. Just because it's a holiday doesn't mean you shouldn't get your little hiney out of bed and go to church tomorrow. You should. You'll be better for it. We'll all be better for it. There's a lot of stuff to pray for, and keep the country in prayer. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you calling. Let us know whenever we can help you. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad.
Tune in next week for another edition of Law Talk with Brad.